is here, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Yes, we do not want all those things. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, it tells you what are the blemishes, what are the spots, what are the wrinkles. Isn't that marvelous? 2 Peter is concerned for the perfected church, but he has to tell us the negative as well as the positive. We look over at 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 13, it talks about some of those false teachers. It says here in verse 13, they are spots and blemishes. What are spots and blemishes that we discover now? False teaching. They produce spots and blemishes in our life. That means, my friend, if you don't want to have a pimple Christianity, put the mopico of right teaching. Right? We want to fight against spots and blemishes, but you must know what it is before you can get rid of it. So we are told in 2 Peter chapter 2 that no other epistle except Jude tells you clearly what these spots and blemishes are. Paul only talked about them. Peter described them. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, which we have mentioned earlier, it says here in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what we must become. We must come to that full knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And look what will happen to us in verse 14. We will no longer be like children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, or rather false doctrine. Can you see the contrast between the knowledge of God and false doctrine? So those themes are all over the epistle, except we have not put them together. But as we study 2 Peter, we are putting all these verses together to show that there is a theme, there is a prophetic theme in 2 Peter, where the knowledge of Christ and false doctrine are in battle, in a cosmic battle. That the cosmic battle is around the Word of God. And we see here in 2 Peter chapter 1, what it means as we face the battle. As we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 and 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 18, we realize that the key theme over this whole book is that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, and we are told in this book how it can abound much more through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the key theme. And so it tells us how this knowledge of Jesus Christ is imparted to our lives. In verse 3 and 4, it describes all the detailed ways in which it works. But we summarize verse 3 and 4 in 2 Peter chapter 1 as number 1, the promises of God. The promises of God, which is His written word. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every line, every verse. Every promise in this book is ours. So how do we attain to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? We have to know the promises and study every promise He has made to us, and hold fast to them. And that's number one, what sound doctrine is about. Sound doctrine is not just doctrine to create a creed or a religiosity that binds us. Sound doctrine, the purpose of it, is to help us to reach into the depths of the promises of God. That's what it's supposed to do. They didn't just talk about God's word in general. It says God's promises. Find out what they are and your life will change. My life changed when I got all the promises of God together in 1979. And I meditate. I mean, we sing it in Sunday school, you know. Oh, there are how many thousand promises, how many thousand promises, etc. in the Word of God, how many thousand promises. But have we really paid attention to what the promises are besides knowing the promise of forgiveness of sins, healing, prosperity, etc., what the rest are? And so in 1979, after God showed me a vision of my spirit man, so weak and needy, I make a decision in my life. Say, God, teach me how to feed my spirit man. And God teach me about how to meditate God's word. And as I reach out to God's word to meditate, I say, Lord, what shall I meditate upon? And God said, my promises. And I started from Genesis and start reading through. Every time I find a promise, I quickly write it down. And every day, from 8 to 12 hours a day, I speak God's promises to me myself. For 1 year, I went on a word fast. I read nothing but the promises of God. And it changed my life. I still have that file. I still go through it every Saturday. And I go through part of it every day. The promises of God. It changed my perspective of God. It changed my perspective of what the world is like. It changed everything. I came out of that 1 year different, totally transformed, because the promises of God were quickened in my spirit. So know what the promises of God are. Don't just hear about them. You hear about 10,000 promises, how many thousand promises. Well, what are they? Find them out. And I have all the promises classified in different divisions. Promises of healing, every verse on there. Promises of prosperity, every verse there. Promises of wisdom, every verse is there. Promises of righteousness, every verse is there. Promises of holiness, everything is there. See, I believe the Word of God is what we sow. The Word of God is like a seed. If you need healing, you're going to sow seeds of healing into you. If you need love in your life, you don't have enough love, you're going to sow seeds of love into your life. You need wisdom, sow seeds of wisdom. And this is where the place we get our seed, the promises of God. We, the Bible tells us, we are like the ground. We are like fertile ground. Some will bring 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. We are just the ground for the seed to dwell in. We just have to keep letting the seed be sown in our life so that we can reap the harvest. So the first thing, to establish ourselves in firm doctrine, sound doctrine, we have to know the promises of God. You see, why is that important, brother? Although it sounds so simple, it's very deep. If you know the promises of God, you can never be deceived. If someone comes and tells you God did not forgive your sin, and comes up with a very sophisticated theology, and prove to you from the scriptures, yeah, we're going to see what wrong doctrine is like afterwards in chapter 2. Wrong doctrine involves a perversion of scriptures. It is not scripture-less. Wrong doctrine is a perversion or misuse of the scriptures. So if I know the promises of God, I can never be deceived. Because if the devil comes and say, God didn't forgive your sins. In fact, he doesn't say so politely. God didn't forgive your sins. The devil, 1 John 1:9, forgives all my sins. You know, every promise of God. Or what about someone comes up with a wrong doctrine that shows for that that, for example, that God wants you to have sicknesses in your life. God sent this sickness to you. You know the promise of God. How can you be deceived? It's such a simple truth, but it's powerful. People who are deceived are people who do not know the promises of God. So simple, but powerful. If you knew what God said, You can't be deceived. If someone comes and tells me and say, Pastor, God is going to cause destruction to abound in this place and that place, I won't receive it because I know what God promised. If someone predicts something negative over someone or somebody else, I know that's not what God is like. Because you're firmly founded in the promises of God. It's one of the major key protections against false doctrine. And if someone like Jim Jones or this guy comes around and tries to deceive you and say that you're to swallow poison when he tells you to, you know the promises of God. You know the promises of God doesn't involve these things. And you will never be deceived. See, people who are deceived, people who do not know the promises of God. You know why Eve was deceived? She did not know what God had given her. The devil said to the serpent, God doesn't want you to be like him. If she knew God wanted her to be like him, would she have been deceived? Never. But she did not know that God wanted her to be like him, but not in this manner. God said in Genesis 1 verse 26 that he wants to make man, both men, male and female, in his image, in his likeness. Jesus was not deceived because Jesus knew the promises of God. The devil came to Jesus and said, bow down to me, I will give you all this kingdom. Jesus was not moved because Jesus knew the promises of God. God has given him more kingdom than this. See, how can you be deceived when you know the promises of God? But someone who doesn't know God, say, I'm not sure God is going to give me as much as him. I better bargain with him, sell my soul to him. See, people who don't know the promises will be deceived. But when we know the promises of God, you can't be deceived. Because you will know who God is and what he promised you personally. Number two, the second area of being solidly founded in correct doctrine, we see in verse 8, for if these things be yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. And that is one of the biggest worries of many Christians, that they don't have fruit in their life. We are told the secret here. If the promises of God abound and it produces virtue, faith, love, and all these things are so deep into you, the Word of God abounds in you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you have faith and you have virtue and self-control and all these things grow in your life, and all these things abound in your life, sound doctrine, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will never be barren nor unfruitful. Remember, Jesus says that you shall abide in me and I abide in you. But how does he abide in us? Again, the same words coming out. My words abide in you. His words abide in us. You will bear much fruit. John 15 verse 5. You abide in him and his words abide in you. You will bear much fruit. We will never be unfruitful, never be barren. That's the second powerful truth. That when we are firmly founded in sound doctrine, in the knowledge of God, there is no such thing as going about without any fruit. God will give you fruit in your life. There will be, you will be fertile ground that produces unto God blessings unto others. Bearing fruit, fruit of souls and fruit of character in your life. How important sound doctrine is. Wrong doctrine will not produce all these things. The third area that we see here is in verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory with such a voice, when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration experience that He had. And then He concludes by verse 20 and 21,